Hi, y'all. This is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for August 2nd, 2020, entitled You Do It, based on our reading from Matthew's Gospel. The miracle in our Matthew passage, usually called the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle recounted in all four Gospels. Of course, it's more accurately the feeding of the 5,000 men and probably another few thousand women, because we know many women became followers of Jesus, and who knows how many children, because Jesus loved children, and I bet wherever he was, there were always kids around. So I'm going to call it the feeding of the 10,000, give or take, which is a lot of people to feed with five baguettes and two fish. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When he heard, that is, of the unjust execution, the beheading, of his cousin and forerunner, John the Baptizer, he needed some time alone. And he went away to a deserted place, a desolate place, a wilderness place. But when people heard about it, heard that Jesus had gone away, heard maybe about John, and so maybe worried about Jesus, or at least curious what he'd do, in any case, word spread, and people left the towns and followed Jesus into nowhere. So he got out of the boat, and instead of finding peace and quiet, he found a crowd of people in need. He felt compassion for them. His stomach clenched with caring, that is. And he performed many miracles, curing those in need, until night began to fall. His disciples got worried. It was late and they were in the middle of nowhere and people would be getting hungry. What would they do? It's time to stop with the miracles, teacher, maybe they said, and send the crowds away so that they can go into town and buy food. I think Jesus, tired as he probably was, must have smiled. No need to send them away, he said. You give them something to eat. What, huh? What? Now, to their credit, the disciples had already thought about helping. It seems they'd already taken inventory of available supplies and decided they didn't have enough. We got nothing, Jesus. Just five loaves and two fish. Did Jesus roll his eyes or smile again, thinking, oh, ye of little faith? He said, bring me the food. And people, y'all, everyone, sit. Okay, guys, give me the bread and those fish, whatever you got. And he raised his eyes to heaven, and he took the food, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And the disciples moved out among the crowd, handing out food, and there was enough for everyone, the men and the women and the kids, not just to have a little taste, but to be filled up. And there were leftovers. It's popular to interpret this miracle by saying that bit by bit, people began to share food that they had been keeping to themselves. And it turned out that there had been enough all along, once the ones who had more shared with the ones that had less. Well, I don't know, consider this story from the days following September 11th, 2001. See what you think. Some of you know I was a chef back in the day. Though I'd left restaurant work by then and was chefing at Gay Men's Health Crisis, feeding men and women and children with AIDS and HIV. Now, following September 11th, the armory on 26th Street and Lex in Manhattan was used for a few days as the family assistance center for relatives of the missing, as we called them. After delivering leftover food from Gay Men's Health Crisis on the Friday night, I asked the folks in the kitchen there if they could use some help. Dumb question. Come back in the morning, they said. I got there early the next day and got security clearance, then helped put out breakfast for family members and National Guard members and counselors and police officers and whoever else was there and needed to be fed. Now, the kitchen had been reclaimed from years of neglect by the previous crew, and it was scrubbed and swept and really quite clean, if woefully under-equipped. We saved metal foil from donated food to serve as pans. We had one pot. Luckily, it was a big one. And we had some food. As soon as we sliced and sent out the last of the bagels, we discovered another bagful. We only found one stick of butter to send with them, but some cream cheese turned up and then some jam. Breakfast done, we started heating last night's leftovers for lunch. There wasn't much oven space, so we wanted to get a head start, but really, there wasn't much food either. But every time I went to the walk-in refrigerator, its shelves were stocked higher and deeper. Every time I walked by the back door of the kitchen, another person stuck her head in and said, "Can you guys use this?" handing over a carton of canned goods or a tray of chicken. Frozen pizzas seemed to reproduce like rabbits, but the demand for them didn't lessen. We heated them in the oven and under the broiler and on the stove. You know, another thing that seemed to multiply were the boxes and bags of individually wrapped sandwiches, each with a note tucked inside, covered with childish handwriting. "We love you. You're our heroes. You are in our prayers." A whole lot of school children somewhere had been awfully busy. It never let up. One moment we were dumping the contents of single serving sized cans into our one pot for an impromptu soup. And the next we were slicing newly delivered turkey breasts and hams with our two knives. One moment we were whipping up oil-free salad dressing because we had no oil. And the next we were directing big laden guys who were saying, "Where you want this lasagna? We got more." The volunteers were a mixture of culinary pros and normal people, but everyone did whatever was needed. One tiny woman must have washed her weight in pans several times over. And I realized all those helpers, pros and civilians alike, they weren't there because they needed to be thanked or needed to win brownie points from their god or their neighbors, but because they were hungry to be of service. By the end of the day, there was plenty of food, more food than we could use, in fact. We started sending people to homeless shelters with their donations, and plenty of help, too. We were turning folks away. And who am I to say that none of that was miraculous? I think it may well have been. And I think that Jesus was an actual miracle worker. And the feeding miracles were no less miraculous than the healing miracles, no less miraculous than the raising from the dead miracles. So we don't have to rationalize this miracle, explain it away. We can accept it. and accept the fact that to be a disciple of Jesus is not just to follow him, but to be an active participant in his work, including the working of miracles. When the disciples came to Jesus, concerned that people needed to be fed, he said, "You do it. You give them something to eat." That was the disciples' task. That's our task. Sometimes that means literally giving our neighbor something to eat, at a soup kitchen maybe, or through donations to a food pantry, or offering a meal or money to someone on the street, or by engaging in political advocacy for food justice, or justice to satisfy other hungers, like that for equal treatment under the law. Voting rights come to mind right now. It may mean offering spiritual food with worship and Bible study and prayer. Sometimes it's offering food for the soul through music. There are many different ways of feeding our neighbors, but the call of Christ is the same. You give them something to eat. Yet, as with the disciples who couldn't feed all those people without Jesus' help, neither can any of us. We need Jesus to multiply the blessings and see that everyone is served. To remind us, he will supply whatever we need if we will just get to work. God doesn't need us. But even so, God created us to partner not only with one another, but with God. God wants us to join in, because God knows we get more when we give, when we take part in God's life-giving work of compassion, of feeding people's bodies, feeding people's souls. It's not that there aren't real miracles. It's not that Jesus needs us in order to work miracles. It's that we need to be part of the miracle. So, siblings in Christ, let's get cooking, so to speak. And in honor of the late Representative John Lewis, and in honor of our Lord and Savior, I urge you to cook up some good trouble, miraculously good trouble, to turn up the burner and stay in trouble until all God's children are fed in body, mind, and spirit. You do it. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.